Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. It's a magnificent Monday down here in Florida. We are getting stuff rolling. It is actually some really cool weather. It was in the 40s this morning when I woke up. So it's the first part of actually our cold weather coming in as of October 30th today. So that was pretty exciting. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing wonderful. I had an experience this morning here in North Carolina I've never had before. It was around 30 degrees when I woke up, and my water hose was frozen solid, full of ice. And I tried to rinse off the car, had some mud on it, and I couldn't rinse it off because no water would come out of the end of the hose. I've never experienced that before in my entire life. So now I know that what you need to do is make sure you drain the water hose before freezes on it if you're going to use it. So I got a kick out of that. I thought it had like an ice cube hanging out of the end of it. It was interesting. So, yeah, it was pretty nippy here last night. And so, you know, we're in an RV, so we had to basically have some heaters going in the RV, and then I had to put a heater underneath the RV so the pipes under the RV wouldn't freeze. So it was an interesting evening. I hope we don't have any more really cold nights like that. I think it's be pretty nice from now on. But we should be coming back either next week or the following week, so we won't be here much longer. What's your first story, bud?
Well, first thing that I wanted to address here, since I'm going out there on Wednesday, and I'm really trying to dig in and figure out what's going on, but the more I keep digging into Las Vegas, it's pretty much turning into an obvious example of a total massive cover-up. It's been 30 days. It's been one full month incident happened, yet they are not, the FBI and the police departments are refusing to provide any updates now for literally about 2 weeks. If you guys have noticed, nothing's come out from any source at all, from the FBI, from Las Vegas PD, nothing. Supposedly this was the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history with more than 500 people injured, yet over 2 weeks after Las Vegas Strip experienced this shooting, local and federal authorities are still refusing to fill in the blanks. And that was from the Las Vegas Review-Journal, what they reported. Even some of the mainstream media outlets are starting to address this now. Independent reporter Laura Loomer said by October 13th, this was the last time the Metropolitan Police Department or the FBI addressed the media or public. Something had changed at that point within that two-week period. The sheriff, who had been straightforward and stern, was now emotional and combative. Both he and the FBI failed to provide much new information at the end of the meeting. They refused to take questions. Since that day, the only person who has said anything else about the entire incident was Jesus Campos, who appeared on the Ellen DeGeneres show, and even that incident was extremely odd considering the fact that he disappeared when he had five interviews to do on a Thursday and didn't reappear until suddenly out of the blue to be on her show. Now, with the Review Journal, they just contacted the FBI on Friday, and they were literally told that releasing information to the public did not matter. The FBI's Sandra Brault was the agent she spoke to, told the paper that it doesn't matter when asked why there had been no update. She said it's an ongoing investigation. Unless there's something to report, there will not be any briefing of any kind. Now, what's wild about this is we talked about last week as well is that video that surfaced of those, 17-plus ambulances that were loading up people out of the Hooters Hotel and Casino. There was a pretty good deal away from the Mandalay Bay. And I had some people say, you know, okay, well, if this was triage, if this was first responders, they're obviously not going to want to go to the scene where there's live fire activity. However, you have to remember, that shooting only occurred for about 10 minutes from the hotel, and then it was over with. SWAT then entered the building and everything else, but the hotel, the ambulances that were loading up all the stuff out of Hooters was almost an hour past when the actual shooting had been, all the way for hours on after that. So, very, very strange incidences. And then another incident that I saw earlier as well is that they're reporting now supposedly that Danny Contreras was another individual that had gone to social media to report about multiple shooters. He is now dead. Kimberly Schumo, who's the one a couple weeks ago, you remember, she was on the ground and said there were actually people on the ground shooting. Remember, she died in her sleep, supposedly. And now we also had the Chad Nishnamara, who was supposedly the Mandalay Bay valet who said he parked Stephen Paddock's car and is still missing, has not been found. Nobody knows where he is at, and he blatantly told KITV4 that Paddock seemed like a normal individual when he valeted his car, and he did not have hardly any bags at all when he parked his vehicle, which completely contradicted the mainstream narrative of Paddock having 30 semi-automatic rifles with thousands of rounds of ammo, with body armor and all types of other equipment, including the fact that he had fertilizer and everything else in his vehicle, supposedly, is what they told us. So that valet attendant so far is nowhere to be seen. I can't find any information on him at all. So it seems to me that they're almost trying to scrub this event now. It's like they got busted with their hand in the cookie jar. The entire American population that was awake pretty much called out the FBI and the ATF and the CIA and just about any other entity that was probably involved in this for exactly what happened. Especially after the Las Vegas PD came out and completely changed their entire narrative a week after the shooting, saying that the security guard was shot at 200 times before Paddock even supposedly shot around, even though the first story was that he was shooting and the security guard interrupted him at the end of the shooting and started to fire in the hotel at that point. So I don't know, guys. The reason why I keep bringing this up, a lot of people go, oh, it's obfuscation. It is at some point obfuscation. But the thing about it is, a lot of people aren't wanting to address how significant of an incident this was, yet nobody is even wanting to come up with any type of reasonable explanation now. The FBI is literally refusing to address anything on it and saying that, oh, we don't have any information, we're not going to say anything else about it, it's pretty much done and over. When you have an incident like Sandy Hook, it was literally in the media for months that took place. Every single day you turn on the TV, there was something else they were playing on the television, which goes to show me that's exactly what they wanted everybody to believe and exactly how hard they tried to push it, whereas this incident in Vegas is completely different. They tried to get it to get traction, and it did not catch at all, even though it was an unbelievably over-the-top setup shooting, and nobody's buying it now, Dad, which is pretty interesting to me. That's why I want to keep waking everybody up and trying to find the bottom of this and get to the truth of what's really going on.
What I want you to do, and I want you to be careful when you do it, when you get out to Vegas this week, I want you to, and this is, guys, I'm not making a joke here, I want you to go over to the Hooters place, and I want you to talk to a few of the people that work there and ask them what they saw, what they remember, and you don't even have to tell them you're part of the press. Just ask them a few questions. I was doing that the whole time I was in Greece, if you guys remember, and giving you the inside scoop of what's happening, and you're going to find somebody who's going to tell you what happened, because I guarantee you this is fresh on everybody's mind, especially if all those ambulances were at Hooters. I want to know why all the ambulances were at Hooters. I want to find out if they were actually loading up people, or if this was all show, or if the hospitals really were full of people. I mean, we still have not received the information on the Pulse nightclub at all, had not been released. And now, over 50 years later, we don't even get the information on the Kennedy release as far as what happened with him. I mean, this is ridiculous that we're living in this type of country that has all of these secrets, and they're unwilling to tell us what's going on, and that they're involved in all of these false flags. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. By the way, the U.S. court has now barred Trump from reversing the transgender troops policy. Washington, a federal judge in Washington on Monday barred President Donald Trump's administration from executive excluding transgender people from the military service. U.S. District Judge Colleen Collar Cotelli, gosh, she doesn't have names. She has asked for more names of that. Ruled the transgender service members who had sued over Trump's policy were likely to win their lawsuit. She directed a return to the situation that existed before Trump announced his new policy last summer. Unbelievable. Trump had ordered a return to the policy in place before June 2016, under which transgender individuals were barred from joining the military and service members could be discharged for being transgender. Under the Gay Kenyon and his gay wife, that policy was allowed to allow transgender service members. The Trump administration may appeal the decision, but for now, the proposed ban remains unenforceable. So again, another Supreme Court ruling going, wow, what a mess, having all of these liberal court justices all over the United States. I mean, Austin, I mean, just think for a second. You got a guy who wants to be a girl who wants to be a guy, and they're wanting to strap on an M16 and run around with you in a doggone field with a 100-pound pack. I mean, dear Lord, either way it works. Number one, you got a girl who wants to take testosterone supplements to get stronger to carry the 100-pound sack, or you got a guy who wants to take estrogen supplements who can no longer carry the 100-pound sack because he now has estrogen in his body and he's lost lean muscle mass. I mean, this is just a no-win for the military, and the sad part about it is, it's just something that we're having to deal with because of the Gay Canyon. And so it's like this guy basically came up to our country 8 years ago, 10 years ago now, whenever he decided to run for president with Barack Obama, and the globalists decided that they'd like to have him in because they knew he was gay. I mean, Joan Rivers called him out. Everybody knows Obama's gay. Like it's the worst-kept secret on the planet. So this is what's happening with people all over the place, all over the planet. And sadly, Austin, we as Americans are stuck dealing with this nonsense, trying to figure out what to do and where to go with all of this. And now we've got the transgenders back in the military, at least I hope, for just a short period of time. This is really disgusting news for me today, Austin. What do you think, and what's your next story?
Well, yeah, and I mean, I really hope Trump fights this, the administration does something about this, because the biggest aspect, I mean, apart from the logistical standpoint of what you just mentioned, that's already a fiasco right there, trying to deal with that. The part that really troubled me, especially as an American citizen, especially as a taxpayer, is that they ruled that these guys could undergo sex operation changes to make themselves feel better about their gender, basically, issues that they're facing, all under the military budget, meaning you're going to have, and there were multiple people that came out and said this now, that said there are people, they're especially males, already in the pipeline that are wanting to sign up and enlist in the military simply so they can undergo their gender reassignment surgery. And so that was going to be billed again on the taxpayers, because I mean you're talking about $20,000-$40,000 in surgery, not to mention a lifelong supply of constant medication that you have to stay on regularly. I mean all the time. I mean, because you have to constantly put those hormones back in the body. Same thing with the females if they want to go on testosterone replacement therapy. The thing that, at least with the females, if they did that, which I'm not advocating it nor am I endorsing it, but if they did do that and they were that weird and they wanted to go on testosterone replacement therapy, at least it would make them much more stronger and much faster and much more efficient as a soldier in the field. And it would completely stop their menstruation with the testosterone, so they would basically turn into a guy. They would at least be somewhat proficient in the field if they were an infantry or something like that. Whereas the total opposite, if you have some little pansy boy that wants to be a girl and he wants to do some type of job like that, I can't even imagine the logistics of trying to deal with that and operate with somebody like that in the field that was just complete and total idiot, not to mention a mental nutcase that they went through gender reassignment surgery and had part of their body cut off. That still boggles my mind. I really hope the Trump administration fights this. This is not something that ever needs to be accepted in the United States military. Literally, when Obama did this, this made us the laughing stock of the world as far as the military. I mean, nobody does this. Nobody in the entire world allows transgenders to sign up in the military and then turns around and pays for them to have their gender reassignment surgery. So, yeah, I would definitely not happy about that at all. Also, other news that I wanted to bring up today, because this is I've been calling this for the last couple months. I knew it was going to be coming forth now, and it looks like the briefing that came out the end of last month from the NDAA, you guys know the National Defense Authorization Act. We've talked about that before. This pretty much bill directs how the U.S. Department of Defense can and cannot use its funds over the course of the fiscal year 2018, and then adds in a whole bunch of other stuff. Much of the coverage regarding the NDAA has been focused on a number of amendments that have been added to the bill by various members of the House and Senate, including amendments which later failed on ending the military use of indefinite detention without trial and the authorization for use of military force. That got dropped again. Of course, they tried to put that in there, that basically you couldn't just hold somebody in indefinite detention for no reason at all, and that got dropped out of the NDAA, or it got left in the NDAA. But yet, one focus of the NDAA that's been so far overlooked and is likely to remain in the final version of the text pertains to Venezuela. And I've been talking about this, guys, and I've been talking about this, and it pretty much is clear now after the information we've seen last week that we're going to be going into Venezuela very, very soon. And the report prepared justifying the NDAA's approval and presentation by the House Armed Services Committee, an entire section is devoted to, and I quote, Venezuela security and stability in the NDAA 2018, a reference to the concern regarding the country's economic crisis as well as the political tensions between the between the ruling United Socialist Party and the U.S.-funded opposition in Venezuela. The report states, the committee is concerned about the U.S. government contingency planning if a collapse of the Venezuelan government and economy occurs. Therefore, the committee directs the Secretary of Defense, in coordination with other federal government agencies and Department of the Secretary deems appropriate to provide a briefing which may be classified to the House Committee on Armed Services no later than September 30th, 2017, a month ago, on the U.S. government contingency plans, listen to this guys, for a potential humanitarian and migration crisis in Venezuela if the government and economy collapses, to include the Department of Defense's role and responsibility and assets that would contribute to such plans. Think about what we just had happen with Puerto Rico, guys. We just had that almost get wiped off the map. They're going to be rebuilding that place for another year. They've already come out now and said, Central Florida is getting 100,000 Puerto Ricans. Miami's getting 150. Jacksonville's getting 100. We're getting 350,000 people dropped into this state within the next year from that country. And another like 400,000 or 500,000 are going up to various states up north. Think about what's going to happen now if we deem Venezuela to basically be a crisis and a humanitarian crisis, and we send in the Department of Defense in there to essentially take over the government, and we start bringing in individuals from Venezuela now under the humanitarian and migration issue. The population of Venezuela is 31.5 million people. It is not a small country, nor does it have a small population. It's about a tenth of the population of the United States. There's a good possibility with the fact that we're putting the wall up and we're trying to stop illegal immigration to Mexico now. They've been trying to slow down the massive Muslim migration from the Middle East with some of the Trump's blockades that he's put in, even though he's having a fit of a time with the other judges. We're bringing in all these Puerto Ricans now. Now there's probably a 95% probability we're going to start bussing in hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Venezuelans in the United States. They have to overthrow the United States from within. At the same time, they want to take over that country and all of its natural resources, including the oil. The thing that's so interesting is the NDAA requests that the Department of Defense evaluate Venezuela from a military perspective while considering its part in the block of U.S. globally. They're saying in here, taking along with Trump's prior comments, increasing U.S. sanctions against Venezuela over the past year, and the nature of the media coverage of the U.S. role in covering the country's crisis, there is every reason to conclude that the U.S. government is once again considering an intervention in Venezuela, notably similar to the measures that preceded U.S. interventions in Iraq and Libya. So guys, buckle up. We're more than likely going to be invading that country, and when we invade it, we're going to shell it. Once we shell it, we're going to say that it's humanitarian crisis, and we have to bus all these people in the United States now. All at the same time, we're going to take over the infrastructure and the natural resources of that country. I have a very, very strong feeling, Dad, that is very close on the horizon for us.
Well, they have one of the largest oil reserves in the world. And so, that was one of the most prosperous countries in the world under Chavez until he decided he wanted his gold back. And he wanted to start trading oil again without having to go through U.S. dollars and petrodollar, but when he asked for his gold back, remember I told you when he did that years ago, I said, that's a dead man. And apparently he ended up having a very fast form of cancer. And if you guys don't think they can infuse cancer into you or inject it into you, you haven't been in the biochemical labs very often. I mean, these guys can do whatever they want to do. They automatically do this with animals in laboratory testing. They give them cancer, have it start spreading in their bodies so they can work on drugs to try to fight the cancer after the animals get the cancer. This is just what they do just because this is how they do their research. So there are all kinds of drugs they can do. That's one of the things I always tell you guys about. You know, when you take aspartame, which is NutraSweet, and you combine it with nitrites. So if you have a diet soda and a pepperoni pizza, you end up causing a compound to be formed that's called the diketiopeperacine. Now, it doesn't matter whether you want it to happen or not. It's what happens. So if you have a pepperoni pizza and a diet soda or a ham sandwich and you sweeten your iced tea with the blue stuff, the aspartame, you form that diketiopeperazine. That degrades to form a nitrous urea. And nitrous ureas are one of the most effective agents known to man for producing malignant brain tumors in laboratory animals for testing. So in other words, if they want a laboratory animal to get brain cancer, they give it a nitrous urea injection. That's how they do it. and they don't give it to them through their diet. They direct it, inject it into their blood, into their muscle, like they do immunizations and vaccines in the United States. That's the problem with all of this stuff, because it causes brain cancer. Then suddenly now you have somebody dying like Chavez with this fast-acting cancer. Well, duh. I mean, are you kidding me? They do this to people all of the time because they have that kind of technology. You say, well, how would they do it to him? Well, he could be getting a routine annual physical from his doctor. Then the doctor says, I've got to take a blood draw. And they could put the stuff into his blood doing the blood draw. You don't know what they do and how they do it, or they could use one of their special little, you know, needles that you use and the weapons they use and all the other things they do. I mean, something's ridiculous how they get away with all of this stuff. By the way, warnings of a global outbreak of black death as plague continues to spread. Health experts are warning there is something different about a new black death outbreak spreading across the world. Yeah, I'll tell you what's different about it. Boy, was at Fort Detrick. Some 1,300 cases now of the bubonic plague, which is transmitted by air, have been confirmed. An estimated 50, this is, they call it a eunomic, it's been transformed. An estimated 50 million lives were lost as a result of the black death epidemic of the 1300s. And now the disease has spread into more African countries, taking root in Madagascar. Countries affected now include South Africa, Mozambique, Tanzania, Kenya, Ethiopia, Comoros, and Seychelles, and Reunion. Guys, nine countries have issued alerts about the plague. So far, the virus has killed 124 people and affected almost 1,300, but scientists say this figure will rise. The World Health Organization, which has been working with the Madagascar Ministry of Health, has warned the risk of the epidemic spreading is high. Plague, though terrifying, is nothing new in Madagascar, they say, where about 600 cases are reported annually, but now it is spreading. And they say the health officials can't explain it because it's different this time. Well, yeah, when you start messing with it in the laboratory, you can pretty much tweak it and do whatever you want to do to it. Remember,
weaponize
I told you. That's right. They dug up a bunch of bodies for the doggone thing years ago where they found it up there in Norway out of the doggone frozen tundra. And people had died from it 700 years ago because they wanted to be able to weaponize it. Unbelievable. Guys, this is just something we got to pay attention to. I'm not calling a big thing on this yet at this point because, quite frankly, it doesn't matter at this point because, you know, we're living in the United States. But, guys, this is something we need to be paying attention to. What's your next story, Oz?
Yeah, well, one thing that we are trying to pay attention to, and it seems to be progressing so quickly, is the 5G network. I've been constantly trying to dig up research and figure out how they're going to get all these antennas through all these areas and actually make it aesthetically pleasing, so to speak, because they're pushing this 5G network. Every time I turn around, they're constantly talking about it. They're constantly bringing it up. All types of stuff is going on. And it boggles my mind because I've been trying to argue about it and I've been trying to wake people up about it, but most people are so concerned about having their fast internet service and to make sure they don't literally have to wait more than a split second for a page to load that a lot of people are okay with this. I've talked to several people, just kind of bring it up to them. Oh yeah, man, 5G is great. You know, we already have 5G Wi-Fi. You know, we seem to have 5G everywhere we go to make it so easy for everybody to have constant internet service all the time. And I said, well, why do we need constant internet service? Do you really have to have internet connection 24/7? Granted, it's great for businesses. It's great when you're trying to adapt and do stuff as far as contact people or do things with your website. I said, but do we need to be constantly bathed in 5G networking all the time, everywhere we go? Not to mention, how is this going to have effects on our body? Well, they're going to make sure they're extremely discreet about it now. At the booth at the Mobile World Congress Americans Trade Show now, American Tower showed off its new small cell capable light poles developed in conjunction with Philips Lighting. American Tower, which is one of the largest tower companies in the United States, announced a new partnership with Philips Lighting to build essentially new light poles that have cell phone towers built into them, very, very small ones. Now, at first, I tried to do some research, and they didn't really say anything about 5G at all when they did this. According to the American Tower and Philips Lighting, though, when I started digging some more research, I found out exactly what they're doing with this and why. Cell phone towers are huge, big ones, they're huge. They don't have to be very close together, nor do they have to be very frequent. So why would a company come in and start offering cell phone tower technology in a basically miniature light pole that you would put on a street somewhere only 10 feet up? The only answer would be for 5G, and according to American Tower and Philips Lighting now, they say there are 14 million streetlights in the United States, and only 12% of those have been converted into more efficient LED lighting technology. Further, the company cited Gartner data that predicted streetlights will be the primary type of network infrastructure for 80% of smart city deployment for new wireless networks. There you go. Bingo. This is what they're going to do it with, the streetlights. Streetlights go everywhere. It doesn't matter where you go. Cities have streetlights. There's no way around it. They're efficient. They are safe in most instances because it makes it more lit, especially if you have a lot of people walking around. They can see, decreases crime in some instances. So nobody can argue with streetlights. You can't ever be like, oh, we don't want any streetlights. We want to be pitch black downtown. Nobody is ever going to say that. So now they're coming under the guise of streetlights with the company of American Tower, who builds cell phone towers, building 5G cell towers that are small now that are going to be used as light poles in conjunction with Philips Lighting. McGree went on to say in here, he explained that American Tower's new smart pole would allow wireless carriers to quickly and easily densify their networks and would allow cities to install small cells without any change to their local aesthetics. So right there, guys, I just answered my own question today finally on how they were planning on doing this in an efficient, discreet way that nobody was going to notice. They're going to bring in 5G with light poles now. So there you have it.
Wow, we have light. Like, of course, every neighborhood has light poles. There are
there, that's what I'm my point.
By the way, Kev, this is interesting. Kevin Spacey, this is, I don't really cover stuff like this normally, but they've been rumored as being a homosexual for many, many years in Hollywood. He finally, somebody's accusing him of sexual advances, so he's coming out as being queer now. So I just want you guys to know that. I mean, that's like the worst kept secret in Hollywood, but this is why I want to talk about, too, with all the stuff that's happening, you know, with Corey Feldman. Corey Feldman now says, I will release everybody's name I have knowledge of. Nobody's going to stop me. So that boy better get some life insurance, all I got to say. He did an interview with Lauer, and he said, you know, why are you talking to me? Why aren't you talking to the police right now? Feldman, I already told the police. In fact, if anyone wants to go back to 1993, when I was interviewed by the Santa Barbara Police Department, I sat there and gave them the names. They are on record, and they have all the information, but they were scanning Michael Jackson. All they cared about was trying to find out something on Michael Jackson. Who you said, by the way, did not abuse you? He goes, who? Michael was innocent, and that was the interview about with the police in 1993. I told him that Michael was not the guy that he thought he was, and that they said, maybe you don't understand your friend. And I said, no, I know the difference between pedophiles and somebody that's not a pedophile because I've been molested. Here are the names, go investigate, and let me push this forward. There were thousands of people in Hollywood that have the same information. Why is it all on me? Why is it, if I don't release the names in the next 2 months, 6 months, or a year, I'm the bad guy. I'm the victim here. I'm the one who's been abused, and I'm the one who's trying to come forward and do something about it. So, guys, you can read the entire interview or watch it with Matt Lauer. But, guys, this is a major thing. Hollywood is imploding right before your eyes. This Sabbatean Kabbalist group of people that think we're all a bunch of idiots and we're a bunch of animals, they're finding out real quickly here that these guys are now being turned on by their own people in Hollywood, which all I can say is this, it's about time. What do you think, Austin?
Yeah, it is. I saw that too with Kevin Spacey. Basically, he got accused of essentially trying to sexually molest a 14-year-old male, and now he's come out now out of the closet and tried to spin the whole story and saying that he's gay now and he's openly gay, blah, 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 whatever, who cares about him. But this is exactly what's going on, is that these guys are starting to get busted. Everybody's starting to get, especially the victims, a lot of these younger kids that were, you know, victimized from these guys, they're starting to get the courage now to come out because everybody's starting to come out and say, hey, this happened to me, this happened to me. You got Feldman now who's been repeatedly tweeting about coming out now. He's trying to get the most information. He said, though, I've talked about it last week, he's apparently terrified. He already said that he had two individuals in two different vehicles that tried to run him over in crosswalks now, blatantly target him. So he's very, very nervous to come out with this. He really needs to have some type of dead man switch, either with a video that he does or something that he has somebody else that he trusts very well that is able to release, because there's a good possibility, and I'm not speaking this over him, but if he takes his time with this and keeps playing around and doesn't release it, they're going to try to make him disappear, or they're going to arrest him again under some more bogus charges like they did busting him for the pot charges at his concert a week and a half ago by saying he had a a little sack of weed on him at his concert, and so that's what they charged him with, tried to shut him up 2 days after he posted that tweet. Next time it won't be something so minuscule. They may try to get him with something much more severe. So I really hope he can get this information out, because Dad said, Hollywood's imploding. You see this right now. What's wild right now in our lifetime is that we have the dark side that's just a deception of lies and perversion, and just, it's basically, they love Satan. That's really what they are. That's as simple as it goes. And then you have the right side, which is pretty much the freedom-loving, patriotic Americans who are primarily Christian-rooted. And they're exposing the dark side because of what we have had the ability to now with the internet and the ability to spread information so quickly that it's never really happened, at least in our history, you know, current history. And so all this stuff is starting to come to light, and the globalists are panicking. They're really doing everything they can to try to move this agenda as quickly as possible. That's why a lot of people have been talking about this thing with Saturday, that Antifa is doing this and that. I don't know what they're going to do. Are they going to do something in some major cities? Probably. Do they constantly do stuff in major cities? Yes, it's nothing new. They block roadways like blithering idiots. They go and start marching in cities with pickets and baseball bats and bottles of urine, which, by the way, I don't know who keeps bottles of urine on their person. I find that rather disgusting in general, but this is just what these individuals do. So Saturday, is something probably going to happen? Yeah. Is it going to be some catastrophic end-of-the-world thing? I highly doubt it. Could it happen? Sure. But in my opinion, no, it's not going to happen. And so that's just what everybody has to understand, is we have to constantly keep hammering this right now. We have to keep waking people up. You have to keep talking to people and sparking that light in everybody by saying, is this really what you think it is? Or what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Majority of people you talk to now, even when they're completely asleep, you start bringing up little topics on stuff like simply like Vegas, like I said. Everybody I know that's like, even people I talk to that aren't even really awake, you bring up Vegas, and they're like, that doesn't make any sense. That guy didn't do that. There were at least multiple shooters. And I'm like, okay, making a little bit of progress here. But that's exactly what we're trying to do, is wake people up. Also, too, in other news, if you guys, I didn't report on this last week. I wanted to get to it on Monday, though. So John Kapoor, the multi-billionaire founder of the opiate spray from the manufacturer of Insys Therapeutics, he's the founder of Insys Therapeutics, was arrested in Phoenix last Thursday morning, charged with RICO conspiracy, conspiracy to commit mail and wire fraud, and conspiracy to violate anti-kickback laws. They stated, the U.S. Attorney William D. Weinriff said in a statement, in the midst of the nationwide opiate epidemic that has reached a crisis proportions, Mr. Kapoor and his company stand accused of bribing doctors to overscribe a potent opiate and committing fraud on insurance companies solely for profit. The DOJ alleges that Kapoor, age 74, and six other executives conspired to bribe doctors in states around the country to get them to prescribe the fentanyl-based pain medication, which was approved by the FDA only for treating cancer patients who suffer from severe nerve pain. Kapoor, who has a net worth of right under $2 billion, stepped down from his role as CEO on Insys and the chairman in January, though he remained on the board of directors and still holds roughly 70% stake in the company. So that pharmaceutical company is done. That'll be in the toilet here pretty soon. Good riddance to him. But I talked about this a couple months ago because there were all these reports of people who were leaking information on this, but now finally they charged him under RICO, and I really hope they put these guys away. It looks like there was just too much evidence for even the globalists to try to cover for this guy, and so here's another example of one of these monster billionaires who's been part of the globalist, you know, play club, and has now busted for doing this stuff with these opiates and really contributing to this massive opiate epidemic. So good riddance. I hope he is charged. I hope he spends the rest of his life behind bars, as that is the only place he belongs, for intentionally trying to hook literally tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people on fentanyl. Very, very aggressive stuff. That is probably one of the strongest opiate bases in the world, and definitely not something anybody needs to be using, in my opinion, unless they're essentially like on their deathbed. But this guy made sure, when I talked about the reports last month ago on it, they made sure that people that had like minor pain were getting approved fentanyl, which further increased the opiate epidemic in the United States, Deb.
Well, he must have hacked somebody off. That's all I can say. He must have gotten somebody mad somewhere, or they're using him for a scapegoat, or they're throwing him under the bus, or he may have decided he didn't want to be part of their club anymore, and now they're going to make an example out of him. Something's going on. You don't get to the Billionaire Boys Club and not have to do some things they want you to do. It just doesn't happen, period.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen. And so here he is, a multi-billionaire, and now he's in a situation where he's being thrown under the bus. We saw this happen to Strauss-Kahn a few years ago in New York. You know, he was the head of the World Bank over there in Germany and in Europe, and he basically he got thrown under the buses. And a maid said that he had tried to rape her. None of it was true. I mean, why would a multi-billionaire try to rape a maid, for heaven's sakes? I mean, they don't have to do that unless you're Bill Cosby, I guess, another sicko. But ended up being a complete and total sham, and they wanted to get him down from his power seat because he was trying to undermine the euro, undermine the petrodollar. So all of these guys, when they start twisting themselves a little bit too hard and they want to do things on their own, they're put in line pretty doggone quick. Look at Donald Trump. He starts wanting to do this or wanting to do that. All of a sudden, we're going to impeach you. We're going to impeach you. He's telling you we're going to impeach you. And look at this stuff, Austin. You see this all of the time in the news today. Let me give you the, I want to cover one more thing here, and how the Clintons and the Hillary Clinton and the mysterious death of JFK. I saw this last week. JFK Jr. This is, let me do this. Approaching the end of two terms in the White House, the Clintons began preparing for their political future. They focused their attention on developing Hillary as a politician, even though she had no actual experience, and selling influence while they had it. Buy now, pay later, payable to what would become the Clinton Foundation. Hillary refused to return to Arkansas, suggested the purchase of a home in New York, which would allow her to run for the Senate in an upcoming election. There was just one obstacle. JFK Jr. had entered the political scene. New York was electric with the word of JFK Jr. reclaiming his father's legacy. A piece of Camelot was still alive in America, and donors began to line up behind Kennedy. So she knew she could never defeat the son of JFK in New England. And then she said, quote, I'm not going back to Arkansas. And during a normal flight at 9:20 p.m. on July 16, 1999, John Fitzgerald Kennedy radioed the tower in an airport near Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts, announcing he was preparing to land. Seconds after, listen to this, guys, his plane exploded in midair. That's the first I've heard of this. I was always taught that he crashed. And it was witnessed by several people, including the local newspaper reporter and an attorney. Luggage was recovered miles from the crash site, an event that can only be caused by a midair explosion. 5 hours after the plane went down, Bill Clinton, the president, sent out the equivalent of the Sixth Fleet to find the wreckage, hide it, and the bodies from the snooping media, and though JFK was never in the Navy, and though the families did not consent, he ordered the cremation of the corpses and threw the ashes into the sea in a quickly planned Navy funeral. No photographs were permitted of the recovered bodies, and Kennedy's emergency locator was removed, the cockpit recorder was disabled, and the flight log was taken, all of which is documented in the official investigative report. Behind the scenes, a cover story was concocted. It sounds like Vegas and Sandy Hook again. The weather, which was perfect, somehow became stormy, and JFK Jr. now had a gimpy leg, and Kennedy was emotional. Reports of the FFA and FBI, both concluding foul play was involved, were buried, and all inquiries led to dead ends. In truth, all reports confirmed JFK Jr. was a highly skilled and careful pilot. The Kennedys' family was furious. New York was heartbroken. All evidence had been destroyed or burned by executive command. And, quote, she killed him, I know she did, said a Kennedy staffer who remained anonymous. The Kennedys bought their home in New York, formed the Clinton Foundation, and Hillary Clinton became Senator Hillary Clinton. This is an article by Andrew Collins, and it's titled Hillary Clinton and the Mysterious Death of JFK Jr. Guys, this bullet that we dodged with Hillary Clinton not being in the White House, it's like a 50 caliber incendiary slug to the head. This would have been a nightmare for the United States. It would have been just a complete and total decapitating event for the entire Patriot movement. And guys, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart that you guys listen to this show, that you guys are patriots, that you guys support Health Masters, that you guys are awake, that you guys are all over the country, all over the world, listening to this broadcast every day. It means more to me and to Austin to know that we're making a difference and you guys are making a difference. I mean, this weekend alone, I talked to two more people with new infants, and I asked them to please watch the movie Vax. Twice this happened this weekend. Three times, actually, since Friday. I've talked to people with newborn infants, including again this morning, and it's the easiest thing you can do. Here's how I approach it. Here's what I say. You got a brand new baby. This one's 3 months old today. And I said, wow, beautiful child. I said, what have you decided to do with the vaccinations? Well, we're not sure yet. I said, well, you know, vaccine schedule is pretty aggressive. There's a really good movie you can watch out. You get some ideas as far as what you may want to do. It's called Vaxxed, V-A-X-X-E-D. And every single person that I've spoken to, three of them the last weekend, Austin, have all said they're going to watch that movie. Now, guys, if you watch that movie or you give it to somebody, I've actually given it to people before, and you watch it, I promise you, they will have a second thought before they do any more immunizations. That movie is that intense. So, guys, thank you for being part of this. Thank you for being part of the movement. Thank you for getting away from the GMO foods, the fluoride, the chemicals in your diet, being healthy, listening to the show every day. You guys mean the world to me. Thank you so much, Austin. What's your next story?
Yeah, absolutely, bud. Well, also, too, in other news, it looks like they're doing the best they can. We talked about California and their nonsense, how they wanted to secede from the United States. Well, now they're doing the next best thing again, and they're trying to divide California into three new states. It looks like they've cleared its first hurdle. The plan is being funded by Bay Area tech billionaire Tim Draper, who previously funded a similar proposal back in 2014. That plan failed. However, this one is getting much more traction. Looks like supporters are getting signatures now to qualify for the next year's ballot, and they have a significant amount of them. The three-way split would put Northern California, Southern California, and a center New California, which would be Los Angeles County and most of the coastal areas. If the measure were to make it on the ballot and be approved by voters, it would still have to go through Congress. But it shows you, this is exactly what I've talked about before. I really don't care for California's policies and a lot of what they do. It's a beautiful state. They have a lot of great stuff out there, except they've completely allowed the liberals to take control and turn it into one of the most horrific states from a freedom aspect in the entire country. And so what they've used California with now repeatedly, and we've seen this, as a beta test for all types of different laws, all types of different restrictions, all types of different regulations, and as much invasion on your personal freedoms as physically possible, to the point now where it's a felony to have anything over a 10-round mag in your capacity, which still boggles my mind that the state could even get that passed. But that's what they're doing. Now a lot of these liberals have moved to Colorado. They're trying to do the same there, and now we have a large amount of them trying to move to Florida, and they want to try to do the same here, but they're going to have a hard time doing that in Florida with all of us Southern boys still down here. However, my whole point of bringing that up is the reason why they're trying to do this is they're slowly trying to chip at the United States to chop it up and carve it up like a pizza. That way they can sell it off to the Chinese, they can sell it off to the Russians, and they can completely dismantle the United States of America. They do not want this country being a sovereign country. It cannot be that once they go into the New World Order with a full globalist aspect of a one world currency and a one world government. It can't be done. The United States is too strong as a whole. They want to try to carve it up. That's why there's been repeated reports over the years that they want to basically take the whole lower section and give it to Mexico. They want to take the whole top section and push it off and allow Canada to have it. They want to chop California off and give it to the Chinese, and they want to change other aspects of the Northeast area and give it back to Europe and the UK and completely divide this country. That way it'll be much, much easier to overthrow us and turn us in to basically a submissive entity into the New World Order. So I thought that it's probably not going to go anywhere again with splitting up California, but the fact that they're continuing trying to do this shows me that the agenda is alive and strong with these globalists out there in California. They really want to do the best they can to chop up that state, because that would set the precedent for other parts of the country and other states to be able to do the same thing, Dad.
Very well said. A Russian general came out a few years ago and said that the inside plan from the globalists were to break the United States into 10 specific districts. We know the 10, we call them the 10 FEMA districts, but that's what they want to do. They want to break us up into more controllable masses. You see, the United States, even though we've been pretty much emasculated as far as our manufacturing abilities in the United States, we still have the ability, if the United States population would just wake the heck up and stop acting like a bunch of idiots and say no, like we did in World War II and World War I, to absolutely put a lot of raw materials back into the factories, rebuild the factories, and build up an industrial powerhouse, which I believe Trump wanted to do. But again, like I said, he's part of the billionaire boys club, and they're not going to allow him to do everything he wants to do, and he has to be very careful to avoid impeachment. And so it's been interesting. By the way, Germany now, their bird population is disappearing as their insects have dropped by 76%. Guys, They're doing something in Germany. This is crazy. A new study in PLOS-1 reveals a 76% reduction in Germany's flying insect biomass over the past 27 years and a 15% reduction in their birds in the past 15 years because they have nothing to eat. Guys, this is a problem. This is directly because of the spraying in Germany. I have been there and watched them spray as heavy of chemtrails as they would anywhere in the United States in the giant grid patterns all over the sky. And the same thing's happening to us with our bees and with our insect population in the United States. I had a man tell me just last night from the church here in North Carolina that they can't even raise gardens up here anymore because nothing will grow. The same thing is true down in Florida. It's the aluminum poisoning of the soil. It destroys all these living forms along with these insects. And guys, when the plants can't grow, the bees can't eat. The insects can't eat. Remember, they can't pollinate anything because all the honey's gone, all the plants are gone, everything's dead. Guys, this is where they're taking our entire biomass with their reckless behavior to turn everything upside down on this planet. Guys, this is something we have to continue to talk about, is the geoengineering, and Dane Whittington is the guy who's at the peak of this, and he did an excellent interview with me a few weeks ago with Hagman and Hagman. You guys need to go back to the Hagman Archive. No, you don't have to go to Hagman Archive. You go to my archive, and I've got his interview on a 3-hour broadcast on my website, but in our archives that you can listen to, and you can find it very, very easily. And I interviewed 5 people that night, and the Dane Whittington interview needs to be listened to, Austin. What do you think?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Very, very good info with that. I mean, some of those Hagman shows have been awesome. I know the last one on Friday was great, too. Also, with other news as well, another hepatitis A outbreak in southeast Michigan has now sickened 457 people. Remember, I just talked about last week that California has been having a huge hepatitis A outbreak in California. They said that's 14 times more than last year as far as 457 people. Much, much, much higher than they've ever had before. I said of the 457 known cases, 18 people have died and 370 have been hospitalized. They said, but this outbreak is puzzling health officials as the complicated nature of the regional epidemic continues to baffle so many in the medical community. They said there's no single source such as food contamination, and many groups of people are at risk, including homeless people, drug users, and other people now. They said there are even more cases than normal men. And until October, only 10 men, basically, that were homosexual had contracted it. Now they're saying to fuel the fire, complications surrounding this outbreak. Some people living with hepatitis A have refused to vaccinate and then gotten others sick. Now, why I brought that up is because we saw what happened in California and how I read you that article, how they all went into the hepatitis A vaccine. Oh, people aren't getting their hepatitis A vaccine. They need to get vaccinated immediately. Now we have the same thing in Michigan now. They're saying, oh, everybody needs to get their hepatitis A vaccine. They need to get their hepatitis A vaccine, blah, blah, blah. This is what they're constantly doing now. This is called soft kills. This is what they do in little areas. They start getting all this stuff set up to where these people get sick, these people get sick, this region gets sick, and they slowly do this to destabilize everything as fast as they can. Whether or not this is controlled, I don't know. I don't have any proof to prove that, but I do know it seems quite odd that hepatitis A seems to be rampant right now, and it's spreading faster than it's literally ever done in United States history as far as in modern medicine. And this is something that's pretty strange, but this is another reason why I always tell everybody, make sure you wash your hands, make sure you know who's preparing your food, especially if you're going out to eat, man. Be very, very careful of that at restaurants, and also be taking your vitamins and staying healthy. Keep your immune system strong, so if you do happen to possibly mildly get exposed to something, your body may be able to fight it off naturally without actually catching it because your immune system is so strong, Dad. I just found that very coincidental that Michigan has a hepatitis A outbreak now at the same time California is as well.
Yeah, it seems like it's kind of planned, doesn't it? The electromagnetic hypersensitivity, why is it on the increase? This is an interesting article by a lady by the name of Fromick. And I want to read you part of this right quick. We're almost out of time. Ever since the mid-1970s, I've been investigating, this is Fromick saying this, researching and studying, tracking, and writing about human health anomalies, which I, as well as other healthcare professionals and data researchers, have come to regard as adverse effects resulting from what most people would consider as progress, technology, medicine, pharmaceuticals, vaccines, chemicals, pesticides, and herbicides, and fertilizers. She was on the talks about the light bulbs, weather engineering, geoengineering, and scientifically, she says, it's been acknowledged but still denied, and it's all human health triggers, something that either sets off a disease in a person who are genetically predisposed. And she says all of these things have the capacities to affect human health as triggers, including the human brain, the central nervous system, DNA, cellular mitochondria, and telomeres are all adversely affected. And she says DDT was first invented in 1873. Lead arsenate was introduced as a pesticide in 1892. The first crop duster plane took off to spray fields in 1921. In 1926, J.D. Rockefeller, Standard Oil, signed a 25-year working agreement with the German cartel IG Farben, the business that would manufacture Adolf Hitler's products, and also fluorine gas, and also sarin gas, and also Monsanto, etc. They all came from this. DDT was first used on farms in the U.S. in 45. In 1982, chemical companies pushed support for genetic engineering so that crops could become herbicide-resistant. And by 1997, 600 plus insects and mites were resistant to one or more pesticides. This is the stuff that's happening to us on an ongoing basis, guys, with all the chemicals being put into our food and all of these things that we're being exposed to. That's why it's so critically important for everyone listening. You have to maintain your immune system. You have to try to buy organic food as much as possible. I mean, stop buying coffee out and going out and having fast food meals and all those crazy things. You'll save a couple $100 a month most of the time. And if you start cooking your meals at home, you can actually buy organic and prepare them more effectively and cheaper than you can going out to a restaurant. My wife's cookbook should be to the office within a week. I hope and pray that it'll be here. It'll be on the website as quickly as we can get it up. I don't want to put it on the website until we have them in hand because I've had too many delays in shipping over the past. But we're going to have the best cookbook you guys have ever used, the best tasting food you've ever eaten in our Eat Clean and Be Healthy cookbook, which is at the press right now being printed. So, guys, stay tuned for this. It's really, really important that you eat as clean as you possibly can, and we're going to teach you how to do it in this book. And as far as these eating clean, healthy lifestyle deniers, I've had enough of these people, Austin, telling us that it doesn't make any difference for health. And that's what they are. They're a bunch of deniers. And to me, I've had enough of them because I'm in better shape and healthier than almost everybody my age that I know of. And all of these people that used to boo-ha, most of them are dead anyhow, the ones that I knew when I was younger, they're all gone. And I have had so many friends that had all these horrible health problems because they simply refused to eat clean and eat the right kind of foods. Guys, thank you for listening today. I appreciate you. Thank you for the great response we had on the Hagman Show from Friday night and from our show on Friday. I love you guys. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us and your HGH stimulate from us and your B-complex from us and all of the other supplements you use. Thank you for getting your D3 and your K2 and your potassium iodide from us and your colloidal silver. You guys are the bomb. I appreciate you, and I am humbled by your helping us and supporting us and being part of this team, and we're all working together. I love you guys. Austin, I appreciate you. Go and do the write-up, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow. God bless.
Absolutely, bud. I got it. Also, in other news, too, from the Crime Prevention Research Center, they reported this year now that over 15 million Americans now have a concealed carry license. That's not including the people living in 14 states that have had their concealed carry laws and no licensing for that. That's just in the states that allow it. And he said it's becoming increasingly difficult to ignore the value of an armed self-defense in public places, the whole point of concealed carry. Over 90% of defensive gun use involved merely brandishing the weapon to scare off an attacker, but a number of high-profile cases in Colorado, Pennsylvania, Illinois, and elsewhere in recent years demonstrated that armed citizens are very effective at protecting themselves and those around them when the bad guys strike. A survey of 15,000 police officers in 2013 found that over 90% of the officers support permissive concealed carry laws. The number of Americans who believe that protecting the right to keep and bear arms is more important than passing more gun control laws, surpassing 50% in 2014 in a Gallup poll. So this is important, guys, because I've told you that before. If you have the ability to do so, if you're comfortable with it, get your concealed carry permit. Carry a pistol with you. Have one in your vehicle. Have one in your car. If you don't want it on your person, carry it in your purse or carry it in a backpack or at least have it in your vehicle. But it's not everybody always thinks it's about just defending yourself in that situation. You never know where you may be at a gas station where you see an innocent person like a woman getting carjacked, or you see somebody dragging a woman behind the building to do something horrible to her, or you may see a child getting abducted, or you may see some type of sadistic behavior like that. This stuff happens all the time. It's horrible, but it happens. So So it's not just the fact that you have the ability to protect yourself. It's more to me is I have the ability to protect anyone else if I have the need to do so and I'm required to do so as an American citizen. Too many people have lost that ideology and they think, oh, well, that's what the police are for. Guys, I've been in so many encounters with police. They don't show up until after the situation. That is the truth. I have a lot of friends that are cops and they'll even tell you that. Get your concealed weapons permit, shoot it, know how to shoot it accurately, train with it all the time, and have backup ammo and backup magazines on tap on a regular basis. So that's just my gun spur for today. But thank you guys. We appreciate all the support. Got a lot of emails I'm trying to catch up on today from over the weekend. Also, too, I've been getting a lot of requests on people wanting to know about the Ultimate Multiple Chewable product. Hunter loves it. I take it sometimes. Everybody loves it. It's a really, really great product. It's one of the best tasting Ultimate Multiple Chewables I've ever had, and we manufactured it now because we wanted to have the best quality we could. Well, I went together and I sent an email out on it today. We got a 24-hour sale. It'll be ending tomorrow at 1 p.m. Basically, any orders that are over $300, you can use a coupon code that I put together today called Free Multi, FREEMULTI, and we're going to throw in a brand new, fully sealed, full bottle of the Ultimate Multiple Chewable completely for free. So any orders over $300, put in that coupon code FREEMULTI, and I'm going to throw one of those bottles in there for free. The brand new batch. I don't have to get rid of them at all. I don't even need to do this. I'm simply doing it because I want everybody to be able to try it. And I've had a lot of people ask me about that. A lot of times people stock up on their products. They buy extra stuff from us. They get, a month's supply or more for their family. This right now will give you the ability to try this product completely for free at no cost whatsoever. Type in the coupon code free multi in your order over $300 and we'll throw in one bottle of the Ultimate Multiple Chewable for free. I sent the email out on that today if you want to read more about it. The normal email we send out from Dr. Ted Brower's email. So be sure to check that out. Also, too, the product of the week, the magnesium and malate, that is still on sale as product of the week for over 10% off on the front page of the website. So be sure to check that out. Really, really great, popular product. Anything else you guys need, email us or call us 1-800-726-1834. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.